Castle.
Newcastle, I didn't know that.
And they worked in the Y and in places like that.
Yeah.
And the Selesnik family, which is the ancestor of David Selznick also, they're all kind of connected among each other. You start tracking down the family trees, you discover relationships there.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Irene Mayer is part of this, the one who was married to, you know, Mayer from Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
Yeah.
They're all kind of part of the same mishpacha.
They're all tied in. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. But it's interesting that you mention the Nickelodeon because they have a historic marker, the first place where the first Nickelodeon was in Pittsburgh.
I'd like to go back and mention one or two things.
Please do. I'm very interested.
While I still lived in Pittsburgh, which was before 1907, when we moved, we may have moved late in 1906, early 1907, my father bought me a membership in the Carnegie Gymnasium, which was part of the Carnegie Public Library, when the first Carnegie ever built. There was a pool and a gymnasium, and there I was taught
in the south side?
In Homestead, in Munhall.
In Munhall.
I was taught to swim.
Oh, yes. Very important.
I was taught to swim, and there was a library there.
Mm-hmm.
And I read while I was in Munhall, and therefore I was 11 or under, practically all the George A. Henty books, H-E-N-T-Y. Henty was a historian. Of course, the difficult parts, I would skip the boring part. But I must have read 25, 50 or more books of Henty alone. So I was quite a voracious reader, and in history.
Especially.
By the time I was 11 years of age.
What about your Hebrew scholarship? What kind of a Hebrew scholar are you?
I went to Cheder, and all I was ever taught to do was to read Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
No translation. But occasionally, I think it was on a Saturday afternoon, Rabbi Newman, I think it was, would tell us stories about Jewish tradition, about Rabbi Akiba and others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I only have one other anecdote that's interesting. While we were at Cheder, on a winter's day, we davened Myra. We went to the cheder in the late afternoon. In the winter, it would be night.
Mm-hmm. How far was it from your house?
In Homestead, everything was close.
Yeah.
It was 3-4 blocks. Didn't mean anything.
But high hills sometimes.
Only in Munhall, and it wasn't really a hill.
Uh-huh.
No, it was
okay.
All in a small compass of
mm-hmm.
3-5 blocks.
Okay.
Yous all lived together.
I see.
Nobody lived out beyond.
I see.
Not that it's of any significance, but I will mention 3 or 4 names
of
Jews who were in Homestead in 1906 or 7.
Because there is still a Jewish community in Homestead.
The Lazduskis, the Glicks, G-L-I-C-K, not related to the Glicks that you mentioned, Grosses, and Heapses, and M.D. Weiss, who had originally come, a Hungarian who had come from McKeesport and a family named Frankel.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to tell you an anecdote.
Yes.
That I think is significant. It was the evening prayer, and my older brother was praying. He was playing the 18 benedictions, the Shmon Esra.
Yes.
You're supposed to stand still.
Mm-hmm.
Another boy, one of the Heaps boys, took a pin and jabbed my brother with the pin while he was praying. My brother jerked and did nothing. And he finished his prayer, his myra. My brother didn't know any chochmas.
Mm-hmm.
That's very hard to translate it. He was a simple-minded person in this direct-minded.
Yes.
And after he finished his prayer and stepped back 3-4 steps, which you usually do, he walked over to the stove, the central stove that heated the room, the vestry room, the subterranean room. It may not be subterranean, but it was the vestry room where we had our cheder.
Mm-hmm.
He picked up an ice skate.
Oh, my.
And he walked over to the Heap boys, and he hit him with all of his might. He was then about 12, 13 years of age, and he He hit him right across the face with it and almost took off his nose.
Oh, my. With any repercussions?
No repercussions. The moral is don't stick pins in people. I'll tell you one other story that's not related, but it's an authentic story. Isserman.
From St. Louis,
who was my student and also my friend, who were about the same age.
He did the eulogy for Rosa Sonnenschein's funeral.
Yes. Traveled to either to Europe or back to Europe with Bernie Baruch.
Oh.
And Bernie Baruch had investigated the Polish massacres after World War I,
mm-hmm.
particularly where they, I think at Minsk or Pinsk, a very famous massacre by the Poles, the New Republic of Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably interviewed Dmowski, who was one of the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, why do you kill these Jews? Why do you bother these Jews? And this man answered, the Jews scream even if you only stick a pin in them. And Bernie Baruch answered Dmowski, don't stick any pin in the Jews. And I would go back to this.
I have a question. Do you have any memories of the kind of health or medical care which was available in your childhood or early youth? Do you remember any names of... We talked about midwives. Do you remember the names of midwives or people?
I don't remember.
Felchers.
I can only say this. The midwife that my mother used in Munhall was a Gentile.
Uh-huh. You don't remember Baba Hanna?
No.
No.
I do not remember ever having been taken to a doctor in Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. Now you got up to 1907,
yes.
And that was a depression year too, wasn't it?
Very bad.
And your father.
That's why my father failed.
And your father left you for 3 months to finish your schooling.
2-3 months, yes.
While he went off to.
He moved to Pittsburgh and tried to reconstitute his business and did open the store and again did very badly.
Mm-hmm.
And we joined him in Wheeling, West Virginia.
Yes.
In Wheeling, together with a man named Front and some others. A humble working man. My father, I think is in the Shinley book.
Established, yes, it is. Shinley has all the details.
The first Orthodox school in West Virginia,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Ohev Shalom or something?
I wouldn't know the name.
Yeah.
And one of the Front descendants, probably a grandson, is now a rabbi on the West Coast, a Reform rabbi. That's why I mentioned it. And the family was quite well known in northern West Virginia.
Rabbi Shineling seems to know a great many details. Was he in West Virginia for a long time?
Yes.
I see.
No longer there.
Yes, I know. He's an Albuquerque.
In Wheeling, I graduated from the public school and entered the high school.
Mm-hmm. Were there any Zionist groups for youth at the time?
Oh, I can only mention one Zionist incident in Homestead. When Herzl died in 1904.
That's right.
My father called me in, and he gave me some lithographs of the late Dr. Herzl.
Mm-hmm.
I would deliver them to all the Jews in town and collect 10 cents for a beautiful big lithograph.
Mm-hmm.
Probably made a penny on each lithograph. So Father Ebony was interested in the Zionist movement, but he was never active.
Mm-hmm.
Every Jew was automatically interested.
Well, there was a Zionist institute in the Hill District, but you were too far from the Hill District to be involved.
And too brief in that area.
That's right.
A short time.
That's
right. Homestead, there was nothing as far as I know.
And the Irene Kaufman settlement, or the Columbian Council, was too far for you to be
That's
involved.
That's right. No, nothing. I knew about the settlement, and I knew about J. Leonard Levy. Everybody, everybody talked about him.
Were there any representatives of Southwest District that came out to Homestead or Munhall? Were you too involved in the
Orthodoxy? I know nothing about that.
Do you know what I mean when I use the expression?
Yeah.
Okay.
Know nothing about that.
What kind of fun did you have in your adolescence?
Well, we played Run Sheep Run in Homestead.
Yeah.
And there were gang fights.
Oh, that's good fun. Were these ethnic fights, Jews against others and
no,
vice versa?
No, I don't know. But there was a gang, a notorious gang, they obviously called the Cotter Gang, COTTR. I think some ended in the penitentiary and the like.
Oh, really?
And I also know there was poverty in Homestead. People had big, long poles. And as the railroad trains loaded with coal moved through Homestead, people used their poles to knock the coal off and got their winter supply of coal.
You must have been very young, so I don't know if you were aware of the fight that was going on in Pittsburgh to eliminate the white slave traffic.
No hints of that.
So fun was Run Sheep Run. There must have been a few other things you did.
That's all I recall. Mm-hmm. Nothing else.
Did you find...
And during the Halloween... the Halloween the holidays, the boys would go out with poles and knock over the outhouses.
Oh, that must have been great fun. Yeah. Which means that when you were growing up, you did not have indoor plumbing.
Apparently not.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently not.
And were most of your friends Jewish boys, or did you also have non-Jewish boys?
No.
Friends?
I had Jewish boys. My best friend was a Gentile whose father was a driver for the U.S. Steel. He was a cripple. And we were quite friendly and quite intimate. 25 or 30, 40 years later, I went back, located him. He didn't care to know me.
Oh, really?
Didn't even want to talk to me.
Well, selective memory, you know.
What's that?
People have selective memory.
They have selective memory, yes. I've had that experience in a traumatic sense with Jews also. This was a Gentile. I had no Jewish friends except at the Cheder.
Mm-hmm.
I never kept up with any of them. And there were cliques there. There were some boys who were better dressed than I was, whose parents were better off than my parents, and I don't think they cared to know me.
Unfortunately, this is something I have tasted too.
Yeah.
But your brothers were close enough in age so that you were friends.
We were buddies. We were.
And then when the family moved to Wheeling, I was very curious in reading your biography about how, and you've mentioned this a number of times, how an Orthodox Jewish boy got to go to Reform Hebrew Union College. This is very, very interesting.
Well, I'll tell you that very briefly. So, I was bar mitzvah, and I had a Rebbe who was for the Orthodox Jews. The same time on Sunday, I went to the Reform School, the Reform Temple.
And with your parents' blessing, I assume.
Yeah, no objection.
Mm-hmm.
Although my father referred sarcastically to the Union Prayer Book as a consumptive prayer book because it was so thin.
Oh, I see. I couldn't understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was good in class because I was interested in history, and we used the Maurice Harris textbooks. Mm-hmm. That's a well-known series, may still be used today. And I knew all the answers. I read and I prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And I was confirmed and I read out of the Torah and I was trained by Harry Levy,
yes,
who's a graduate of the Hebrew Union College, whose folks were Orthodox.
Oh, where did he come from?
Cincinnati.
Uh-huh.
Father was a customer peddler. But he was an aristocrat, had an English accent, more or less, and married an aristocratic family, so-called, and wrote a book on the Jew and English literature.
Yes.
But he was a fine person, and he trained me to enter the college, and very briefly, my father consulted a traveling agent for the Morgan Journal, I guess it was Frumenson, I guess was his name, I guess so, or something like that. And man said, you don't want to send your son to Schechter's school.
Mm-hmm.
We corresponded with a young instructor named Israel Davidson.
Yes.
And I was a freshman at high school. He said, come back in 8 years. It was a very curt, brief note.
Uh-huh.
And we'll consider you. So I told Harry Levy, and he said, if you don't want to be a reform rabbi, you can be an Orthodox rabbi. and you can come out of the Hebrew Union College. That's what he said.
Well, how many Orthodox rabbis have come out of Hebrew Union College?
There have been one or two conservatives.
Yes.
Rudolph Coffey, no, I don't know about Coffey, but a man named Elias Margolis.
But not enough so that you could generalize.
He was being smart, because he knew what would happen.
I see.
So he trained me, and I was bar mitzvah, and I read out of the Sefer Torah, and he encouraged me to come to college. I came to the college at the age of 15.
Weren't your parents a little hesitant about such a young boy going off alone?
No, because I had been working to help my father in Homestead before I was 11 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was 11 years of age in Homestead, my father had to leave for a day to go to Pittsburgh, some business or other. He left me entirely in charge of a large store. I stayed in the store all day. I handled the trade. I sold the best suit in the house at the age of 11, measured the man, shortened the trousers, all at the age of 11.
That's fantastic. So they knew they could trust you.
It didn't matter trusting. At 13, you were a man.
Mm-hmm.
That's European tradition.
How were you supported in college? I mean, you needed some money.
Well, I'll get that. So I went to college when I was 15, and from Wheeling, yes. I'd saved with nickels and dimes. I had about $200-$300, which carried me about halfway through the first year. And my parents, though things were bad again, as I told you, gave me the difference.
Where did you live when you came to
Cincinnati? Lived where most of the boys lived, in Orthodox Jewish kosher homes. Those are the only people who would take boarders. I stayed at the home of a Mrs. Reichman, R-E-I-C-H-M-A-N, and I lived there with her for 10 years.
Oh.
Because she was like a second mother to me, and frankly speaking, she was closer to me than my own mother. Her son became a famous American comedian, Harry Richman.
Oh, I've heard the name.
Yes.
So at the time that you came, about how many boys were there at Hebrew Union College?
Oh, the year we came, the preceding year, there were only 30 students. The year we came, we brought in 30 more students. And among the students whom I found her was a student named Solomon Freehoff.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's very, he came in from Baltimore.
Yes, his father was a sofer or something, or a malamud.
Also a moil.
Moil, that I didn't know.
Yes.
He comes from a good Jewish home. And a year or two later, a young student came from New York named Abihail O'Silver. He was
from an Orthodox home?
Fanatically Orthodox. His father made Aliyah 60, 70 years ago.
That's very interesting Orthodox families sent boys, even though in reading the press of the time, I am now reading I'm reading the Hebrew Standard of 1905, and the editorials are virulently anti-reform.
We had an invasion from New York because these boys, this was a career.
Well, why didn't Shechter take them? Why didn't Eitz Chaim take them? Why Hebrew Union College?
Because in 1911-12, the conservative church or congregations were nothing, of no significance and no social station. These boys were boys who wanted to get ahead in the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they made the jump. They were this was a career opportunity.
And Hebrew Union College took high school students, which the others did not.
That is right.
And did they make...
That's why they couldn't have gone over. They were not college graduates, and here they got a free education.
Mm-hmm. They got you into the University of Cincinnati for the secular?
I came as a junior in high school. And the first year, I had advanced standing. This is important. But I couldn't cut the mustard because I didn't have any scientific training in grammar.
Mm-hmm.
So at the suggestion of one of the professors, later on became their president, I went back to the first year. And that was wise because I made a scholarship. So I had enough money to live the second year. And sometime in the second year, I practically got nothing from my parents. I have been completely self-sustaining and supporting since my 17th year, except when I went to do graduate work in the 1920s in Europe. I had $3,000 or $4,000 saved up, and my father financed me the rest of the way, because by that time, I'm making it very brief, he had left Wheeling, where he had not been able to make a living. He had gone to a village in the mountains of West Virginia called Farmington,
mm-hmm.
where he made a small fortune sufficient to be able to retire modestly.
What kind of business did he do in Farmington?
The same he had always done. Clothing and gents' furnishings.
But he loved farming, and he never did go back into farming?
In Wheeling, when we had misfortunes for the second time, he decided to become a farmer. And he went to an auction, and he bid on a farm in Belmont County, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
near Belair, Ohio.
Yeah, that's not far from Wheeling.
Yes, across the river. And he didn't get it.
Uh-huh.
Or otherwise, we would have been farmers. In Farmington, we had a big house with a yard, and he had the finest flower garden and the finest vegetable garden in town.
How often did you come home to visit from Cincinnati?
Always, of course, for the summers. And as long as we lived in Wheeling, I came home for the summer. I studied with a Rebbe, and I studied rabbinic writings.
Do you remember the Rebbe's name?
Yeah, Cooper. But it's not the Cooper who was in Charleston, West Virginia. And I read Ein Yaakov, which is the Haggadic material in the
mm-hmm.
Talmud.
Yeah.
And I got a good training there.
Then
when we were in West Virginia, we were the only Jews down in the mountains in the whole township. At 36 square miles, you asked if my father was Jewish, if he observed. We had never ate any pork product. My father would shecht his own chickens, but after a while, he couldn't get fresh meat because we were 12 miles from the nearest town, and even they didn't have a shochet. We bought fresh killed meat from the local butcher who killed his own cattle. And then after my father lived, I'm making this very brief, for a number of years, he retired with a small fortune and moved to Morwood Avenue at the far end of Morwood Avenue, and lived as a retired businessman and joined B'nai Israel congregation.
So he became more or less a conservative Jew in his later years.
That's right.
I'm going to ask you a personal question which you don't have to answer.
I'll be glad to answer.
Well, when did you stop putting on film?
I didn't wear film for more than about a year after Bar Mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept kosher, strictly kosher,
mm-hmm.
until I was about 18 years of age, for 5 more years.
Yes, in Cincinnati.
And then I started to eat treif meat. I still today observe biblical kashrus.
Mm-hmm.
I have never eaten any pork product mm-hmm. in any form or shape, and I have never eaten any form of sharatzim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I still do, and people know that.
Mm-hmm. They know that when they invite you over, what to serve you.
That's right.
I
ask all the time.
Yeah. Now, I am particularly interested in your early life, because that is the area that I'm from, Pittsburgh, and later on you lived in Europe, and then you settled in Cincinnati, and that's where you spent the rest of your life. I'm wondering if I could ask you one more question.
Sure.
What was the Jewish cultural life like in these various small towns? Was there any Jewish cultural life to speak of, first of all? Newspapers, discussion.
Father read the Volksfreund.
Yes.
From Pittsburgh.
Glickspaper, yes.
And he may have also read the Morgan Journal then. He read it also later.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't dream of reading the forward.
Mm-hmm.
He despised socialism. And he voted the Republican ticket. They had occasionally a ball in town. The Jews did. Maybe the congregation did.
Mm-hmm.
And they invited the alderman to come, or the borough master. What's he called in a borough? I'd have forgotten what he's called, the chief executive. And they would have a cakewalk in the local opera house or Masonic Hall. So they had occasional little balls.
Yes.
And we, the others, with a bris was always occasion. I can still remember as a kid of 9, 10, 11 going to a bris and getting sponge cake.
Mm-hmm. But what about, were there any kind of literary societies, discussion
as
societies?
As far as I know, nothing of that sort.
Were there
nothing.
Any Hebrews in your circles that you know of? Now, there were some in Pittsburgh, we know, because Glick had Hebrew in his newspaper.
I wouldn't know anything about one man who was possibly learned was this man, M.D. Weiss, Moshe David Weiss,
mm-hmm.
who came from Keysport. He was a man of some Jewish culture. I don't know how much Hebrew he knows.
Mm-hmm.
On the whole, it was not a learned group,
mm-hmm.
but a very beloved group.
Yes.
And the children in the cheder were not beaten.
Oh, that's a change. That's a change.
Nobody was licked in the cheder.
Did any of the other young men that you grew up with go on into scholarship or professional life?
Never had any contact with any of them. Though they all had kids, the Frankels and the Lazdeskis.
Did they become Lazday?
They may have, I don't know.
Because there's a Lazday family in Washington, PA, and I brought regards to Rabbi Petuchowski from them. They're very good friends.
Maybe the same family,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Because mm-hmm. you made a little slip of the tongue when you said Lazday, so maybe
yes,
the Lazdeskis
it may be that they
Lazday.
Changed their name to Lazday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
In reading...
I've had no contact with any of those people.
There seem to have been... all the time, peddlers coming in and out of these little towns. Do you remember them coming? Do you remember boarders? Do you remember
no boarders, no peddlers in Homestead. In Homestead, you were a butcher
mm-hmm.
or you were a storekeeper.
Mm-hmm. How did the Wheeling...
No artisans, as far as I know.
How did the Wheeling community grow? It seems to have grown from what you've described.
Well, in Wheeling... the Orthodox Jews, there was a sharp line of division
mm-hmm.
between the Orthodox and the Reformers. The Reformers would have nothing to do with us.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't recognize us. And they wouldn't recognize my parents. The social distinctions were sharp, very sharp. And we grew up with that, and it was an ironical situation. The 40 years later, when I became a person of some national recognition, the Wheeling community, which would not know me and whose children never invited me to a single party, in all the years that I was a student there and that I was confirmed there, and I was the top confirmant, never invited into their homes with one exception, but never to a party. I was socially... non-persona-gata.
Mm-hmm.
Those people invited me to, and as an honored guest to
well,
the community.
Well, they're a native son. They're a native son who has
yeah.
made good.
That's
yes, that's an interesting, ironic comment. Did you have any hobbies?
Like all kids we grew up, I wanted to be a boxer.
Oh.
Because the immigrants wanted to be boxers.
And you had the build for it.
Yes, but I had no capacity for it. No coordination.
But in terms of hobbies, reading, I guess, was my
I read voraciously.
Did your family ever go on a vacation as such?
No, we didn't believe in those things. No card playing, no dancing.
Well, what did your mother do for a good time? Do you have any
she
idea?
Didn't.
She didn't have a good
she cooked.
Time. She cooked. And your sister, because you did have a younger sister.
I had a younger sister still alive in
yes.
Pittsburgh. She was
denied. What is her marriage? Is she married?
No.
Oh.
She was denied an education because when she got ready to leave her public school, we wanted to send her to a Catholic academy. We did, the sons did, and my father. And one of the Orthodox Jewesses in Wheeling came and said, "This is no place for a Jewish girl."
Mm-hmm.
So she had no education beyond public school.
There was no place for
and
Jewish
no education beyond public school for my brother Frank.
Really?
And my brother Isaac, after public school, he went to a college, a business college. I may say that with few exceptions, to a certain extent, this was true of the wealthier Germans. They went to high school, and they're lucky they graduated from high school. This was not the day of the college-trained boy.
Yeah.
I knew of no boy in my community in Wheeling who went to college.
You were the only one, then. You were the exception.
In my day.
You were the exception.
That's for the accident of going to a seminary.
Uh-huh. And your brother Isaac married?
He's dead.
Yes.
He never married.
No.
There are no
Frank
Markai in the bloodline left. My brother Frank has two adopted children.
Uh-huh.
But no Markai in the bloodline.
Mm-hmm. You're making the plural of Marcus.
Yeah.
I was wondering, and then
Marcus
I caught
Marquis.
It. I caught it. And I have more questions that are on the form, but they do not fit your particular life because they deal with marriage and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And you had already left.
You stick to the
We're
Pittsburgh
sticking
end.
To the Pittsburgh area.
And you'll send me a tape.
Of course, that's understood. We're about 2 minutes to the end of the tape. If there's anything more you would like to add about your memories of Pittsburgh or any incident, anecdote, or whatever that
I
you can do in a minute?
I can't think of anything of a Jewish nature